You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 404, Legion Not Found. Welcome to episode 404 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I am Paul French, and today I am Carousel Kid. Took the kids out to the carousel today.
I had a Logan's Run thing in my head. I don't know why, but go on.
Yikes. Well, you know, as we like to do, and I got myself in the wrong space on this one. I took a ride with the girls, and I guess I set myself up where I was kind of facing backward and was kind of trying to, and it was too much ground in it. So I saw, I saw too much of the turning around, and I actually felt a little bit nauseous after. And I don't usually feel that way, but this was kind of the first time that's happened. Well, ever since we've been going there, and that's well over 5 years. And so it was kind of, I'm going to take a little break from this, but you know, it was like, yeah, maybe next time face forward, Paul, face forward and don't, you know, face forward and look down. That's fine. Going backward and looking down doesn't seem to work for you. Mm-hmm. And, nitpicky thing. I agree. But actually it was just as much fun to get out on the outside of it. And as they went around the next time with Jan, get to wave to the girls. Every revolution. You would like it, Darren, because it's a nice, actually it's a very nice old, you know, 100-year-old carousel, but always playing the Disney tunes.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah, you gotta love that.
And so today it was a lot of Frozen, but they threw in the Grace Potter song from Tangled, and I love me some Grace Potter, so that was really cool. So that's me. Over to you, sir.
I would think Canada would be tired of the Frozen song. I know we are down here, but you know it's
okay.
Oh
no, we're good and tired of it too.
Okay, good.
I have two young girls. Believe me, I'm sick of the goddamn Frozen songs.
They need to make a new princess movie so we can be tired of something else.
Exactly.
Oh god, that's how they get you at the drive-thru in Orlando and Anaheim, kids. I am Darren Noel, and I am high as a kite, kid, because I've been doing a cosplay project, and I forgot that I should really not use this product without ventilation being a priority. And I went, oh, hello.
Hello.
Hello. I can see colors in the sky. It's beautiful.
Nice.
So, yeah, I'm venting. So if you guys hear some Atlanta street traffic, that will be some of the background noise today, because the windows are open here.
Yes.
So I guarantee you we will have at least one ambulance or police officer.
Yeah, as they at should be one. Because it saves me some editing.
Well, see there. Yeah. Just can't hear me. That's even better.
Oh, my. All right. So, in terms of Legion news,
There's a dearth of Legion news. I don't know where that yawn came from. It's probably the fumes in here.
Goodness, he's going to pass out partway through the episode.
No,
folks.
That's Kramer's job. it's just a dearth of Legion news. When is Comic-Con? Isn't that coming up soon?
You know what it is. It's just a couple of weeks away. So
that's why there's no comic news ever, because Comic-Con is coming.
It's a good point. You know, there's...
They're saving it up.
Like, and quite honestly, you know, I'm even thinking in terms of like some Supergirl announcements. Any of the DC TV stuff.
True.
I'd take an announcement on, but yeah.
Well, so they're all in filming now, so you know they're getting ready for fall. So.
Yeah. Exactly. Everyone's going to be reporting back to start shooting in the next.
I know Arrow's already started. So.
Oh, is that right?
Yep. Nice. Yep. Stephen Amell did a live Facebook thing the other day. He's like, on the set. I'm like, okay. He wasn't in his Arrow digs, but he was like reporting for work.
Now they're shooting in Vancouver as well, aren't they?
I believe so.
Yeah, that one would make the most sense because, Star City, because it is Star City now, is meant to be sort of a corollary for Seattle, and Vancouver is very close to Seattle, so just across the border. So that would make a great deal of sense. Yeah. So no, that's great. So it sounds like that's all moving into place, and very interested to see what's going to happen with the Justice Society over on
Tomorrow.
Yeah, Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah. And we've got a Commander Steel. And lots of very interesting stuff happening. And kids, some of you may not understand. This is a beautiful thing, because when we grew up and had to walk 7 miles both ways
to uphill
both ways to the comic shop to get our comic books, we dreamed of the day where, imagine if Firestorm was on TV, or the Atom was on TV, or, Commander freaking Steel.
If you had told me, 10 years ago, Paul.
Yeah.
When we met CGS, that's about 10 years ago.
Absolutely. Yeah.
If you had told me back then that we'd be getting a Suicide Squad movie,
right,
I would laugh your ass off, because there was no way. That concept's just so crazy.
I want to know why you would be laughing my ass off.
Because I would be that drunk.
My, that's powerful, sir.
But
you're right, because
that's what happened.
Because Jan and I have been together just over 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And, carry the one. Yes, just over 10 years.
Carry the one?
Mm-hmm. Actually, I
that
say
that. That checks out, sir.
It does. And we're coming up on our, this will be our 9th wedding anniversary this year.
Aww.
And, which is good, because I've been thinking in my mind it was our 10th, and I was like,
oh, shit.
What? But anyway, because their episode, CGS's episode 100, occurred just after we started dating.
You and Jan.
Yeah.
Yeah, just clarifying for everybody.
Yes, just so everybody knows. And their episode 200 was exactly the day of our 1 year anniversary. So I couldn't go. I could have gone. She probably would have let that slide.
You. Stop it!
But I wasn't gonna. I wasn't gonna.
She would have killed you, and that would have been the end of it.
I wasn't gonna put in the request.
No. With the whole office.
Yeah, and she's well aware of this. Some of the planning of the actual date of our wedding did work around episode 300. It's like, okay, so we'll be back by then, and then I can go. And to be fair, that was all a big bit of planning with, we've got this going on for work, and I want to do this, and does that work? Yes, it does.
This is the date it must be. Okay.
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, and I don't know where we were going with that.
Well, I was just saying that it's one of those things where if you had said a movie starring the Enchantress and Deadshot,
yes,
a movie, a block, not TV of the week,
no, exactly,
not sci-fi, Mansquito level,
Mansquito,
but you know what I mean,
or the Fox Generation X movie.
Uh-huh, and not an animated feature, and yeah. God knows DC does great animation. I'm not dissing it.
No, absolutely.
But a full box office with star power,
yeah,
movie, holy crap.
Huge.
Holy freaking do dot crap.
Huge. And so here we are on primetime television. We've had the Flash going on. We have had episodes with Grodd. Grodd has been on
Grodd,
TV.
For crying out
Grodd.
Loud. Grodd. Really? Yeah. Really?
And so
I want to know how they got the gorilla his equity card. That's what I want to know.
Exactly. Yes, I could ask, because I do work with Tom Cavanaugh's former sister-in-law. But
well, so there you go.
But it's former, so probably awkward.
Awkward. But you know.
Anyway. Exactly. All right, so let's look into the Legion mailbag.
Okay.
Or
we
would that be
got
the
letters.
Yeah.
We get letters.
It'd be like the Smallville mail sack. Remember? When,
excuse me.
No, do you remember in Superman? It was all his letter column.
Wasn't it the Metropolis mailbag?
It was Metropolis mailbag, but in Superboy, it was the Smallville mail sack.
That makes sense.
And
Legion was the outpost.
That's right. That's right. So perhaps I should have just gone with that. Right. So from our friend Boston Moss, who's the one that sent in the awesome debate question for us about worst Legion leader ever, and he's going to get into that in here. But he says, "Hey guys, some random snippets while I work and listen, so they may not be in the most sensible order. Short Canadian superhero, you mean Puck? Now you might think that, and Darren might have actually meant Puck." But when he was describing it, I was thinking Wolverine.
Yeah, I was thinking Wolverine.
So both of us were thinking Wolverine.
Because I knew Puck was a member of Alpha Flight.
But we didn't bring him up. We talked about every other member except for Puck. So to be fair, we were both talking about Wolverine, and that's why we went into the whole, you know, he has an Australian accent. Yeah, exactly. So Puck didn't even enter into the conversation, and you're not the first person to mention that. Yeah,
I think it takes balls to be what is he, like 3'8",
something like that,
with that huge block P on his leotard. You know, his leotard's black with a big yellow P all over it. It's like, that takes balls.
Indeed. Indeed.
Bravo.
So then he says, worst Legion leader? My candidates are Lightning Lad, Sun Boy, and Phantom Girl. And he brings up Sun Boy because, of course, Sun Boy was the one who bailed during the whole EarthGov thing, as we discussed in our debate about this. He said, granted, some of those aren't quite fair in characterization consistency, but you go with what's on the page. Totally agree.
I have to agree with that.
Yeah. Because the Phantom Girl thing was like, are you freaking kidding me?
I think as I love Phantom Girl and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
But I have to say, as a Phantom Girl devotee and someone who voted for her for Legion leader, had I known what was going to happen, I never would have.
That was going to be I gotta hope that was out of Levitz's hands. I gotta hope that. Because it was just bad.
It was awful.
He says, Facebook killing the blog is kind of annoying. Some of us have no presence or interest in Facebook.
Yeah.
Very, very true. But the reality is, it's what killed the blog in general because...
Well, there are blogs out there.
There are, and but I'll bet you most of their page views end up coming through their Facebook wall that says, here's our post on our website.
Yeah,
I get you with that. But the thing is, when a mass of the population does go to that place, that is exactly why it killed the blog. You know, you're going to get somewhere. It's like, yeah, so we still have our blog, but most of everything comes through the Facebook page. And so sometimes it just ends up all getting moved over there because, well, that's just what you got to do. Anyway, he says, until next time, work to do. So thank you for that, Boston.
Get back to work.
Yes, back to work with you.
Back to work.
I said, good day, sir.
Good day, sir. Good day.
But thank you very much for writing in. It's always nice to have the dialogue. And I think I mentioned the John Franks one last week, so I can take off the... I always flag them in my as they come in,
just so that
I can make sure that I get them. From Shane, who is at Dangerbird on the Twitters... He's sent a question to DC Comics and copied us on it. I think you're overestimating our clout, sir. I'm just saying. But he says, when will we finally get the Legion back, and will it be good? And we're copied on that, and so that ought to get him moving. but thank you for including us in the discussion, because we all hope that it will, and quite honestly... the no gnus is good gnus is what I'm thinking right now with the you know, let's make sure someone's got a really good damn idea for it before they go messing with stuff. Because we've seen what happens when it's kind of, okay, we're going to throw something out there. And anyway, okay, so there's some feedback. Lots of great discussion on the Facebook page, facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And this is where kind of the bulk of the discussions happen. Just a lot of talking about, you know, there's been some talk about the whole leader thing. You know, worst leader, and it's hard to disagree with a couple of them, because some of them have been so, again, it's not a consistency of characterization, but again, you go with what's on the page.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of the messed up, you know, the messed up Lightning Lad stuff was because there were so many writers on the book at the time, right?
Yep.
And so it was kind of messed up with that. Okay, here we go. Episode 402, I read the, not meanwhile column, but whatever the heck it was, just sort of looking at some of the things that were going on. And we talked about the Swamp Thing movie, or rather the Swamp Thing sequel. And this was the one that, so originally Adrienne Barbeau played...
Abby.
No, right. She didn't.
No?
That was the trick.
Oh, yeah. Right.
Her character was named Alice Cable. She was pretty much Abby, but she was kind of an amalgam of Abby and Matthew Cable. Okay. So, which means that she was, you know, as our friend Eric Matthews said, because I had said that, you know, I saw that I said that Barbeau played a character named Alice Cable, so pretty much Abby, if not in name. They went in a different direction for the sequel. I said, I'm told it's good, and I even saw it once, but apparently none of it stuck in my mind. And you know why none of it stuck in my mind? Because it's not good. It's not
good. Yeah, I heard it wasn't good.
Yeah, so Eric replied saying the sequel is not good. It's Howard the Duck level bad, which to me is like, wait a second.
Well, Howard the Duck is some quality 80s cheese, though.
Yeah, yeah, I dug me some Howard the Duck.
Until they get to the
it ain't great.
Non-duck sex.
It ain't great, but it's goofy.
Oh, yeah, it's totally goofy.
And I can admire some goofy shit. But I remember Howard the Duck. I don't remember this Swamp Thing movie. And so he says they went full-on camp, unlike the unintentional, enjoyable camp of the first. And then he talks about the TV series. He said, the TV series, though done cheaply, was played straight, however, and was actually decent sometimes, though there were plenty of stinkers. And he actually mentions that he got to wander the sets a few times. And he said, and I find it very amusing that, when you think about it, Adrienne Barbeau sort of played Matthew the Raven. Right? Because Matthew the Raven was Matt Cable. Maurice Walker said, if you're counting information revealed during 5 years later, wouldn't Sunboy be a prime candidate for worst Legion leader, as Boston had also mentioned? He says, Sunboy did the kind of inverse of many politicians. Dirk quit superheroing for a government PR job. Usually politicians leave office and get a lobbying job. He did kind of go in the other direction there. And Alan Bo, our friend from Saga,
Japan.
He thinks that you're a vampire.
Really?
I can't remember what we said, but there was probably something.
Because the Daystar burns my geeky white flesh.
Oh, that might have been it.
I'm not a vampire.
He says, but besides Polar Boy, the worst Legion leader. Yeah, there's Lightning Lad, and just for laughs, how about Element Lad when he didn't know he was leader? All right, fair enough.
Yeah, but that was more comedy.
Totally. And he says, in Phantom Girl, yeah, enough said. Best Legion leader? He says, yeah, Element Lad, Dreamy, and I guess Kid Quantum during the first Legion Lost. Oh, yeah. And we were totally, to be fair, we were doing OG Legion, so and including Retro Boot in that, because it's technically still OG Legion.
Yeah, but I would actually say, you know, if we're going to go further, I would say Cosmic Boy, before he deserted the three boot, was an excellent Legion leader.
Yes.
The way he handled Brainy's coup attempts were quite dashing.
Totally. And yeah, there were very few leaders during that tenure. Yeah. So, and I believe Lightning Lad was the next one, was he not?
Lightning Lad was the last one, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we got to deal with Morrissey's problems.
Oh, yes.
All the damn time. That's right. We need, you know, forms filled out. That's exciting.
That's right. He had to do the paperwork. I just remember him being so frustrated by it. That was possibly the one thing that might have been the one thing I liked about that shooter run was the whole bureaucracy brought into it.
Ugh.
You know, and how it was like, I just want to lead a superhero team.
Oh, well.
Exactly. So, okay. So, we are going to deal with.
Yeah, well, it's a lackluster two-parter.
The story that you thought was already over.
Yeah, I thought it was already over. I wishfully thought that we were done with this issue.
Oh, yeah. Darren had us on to the next issue.
I was ready to talk about issue 54 because it's a really good issue. 54 is a really fun issue.
So next week's going to be awesome, folks.
Next week's going to be I'm awesome. This is going to suck.
But there might be some snark.
A little snark.
Okay, so snark. Looking at the cover, we have Magnetic Kid, Lightning Lass, and Tellus. So it is the founders that are not the founders.
The founders.
The
founders redux.
Yeah, and there is a an Inchalak board.
There's a panel upside down above and to the right of Tellus's head, and I think it says something about a code.
A code modulator.
Yeah. So Michael,
yeah, if you have some insight into this one, yeah. And I you know, and to me, as soon as we translated that or sort of figured that, the first thought I had was of Star Trek The Next Generation, and it is appropriate because to me Lightning Lass is looking very Tasha Yar-esque.
Yeah, that haircut's very Tasha.
Yeah, yeah. So that
and
was
that haircut's very late 80s too.
Well, which hence Tasha Yar having that haircut, yeah. Because I can't remember how many seasons
she's got the big shoulder pads with those lightning bolts too, so you know.
Yeah.
Some 80s fashion is happening here, even though it's the future. So
exactly.
I wanna call out my problem with this cover is Tellus is not wearing his mask.
Yeah, how is he breathing?
Or is it translucent now? I mean completely invisible, because usually you see bits and pieces of it in the drawings he's in, and I know it's got the little metal thing on the top of it there, but you see more than that typically.
Yeah, and so here's the thing. How about that? Like they got transuits, and he's wearing it in the issue. In fact, that little thing is actually a part of his mask.
Yeah,
and we're just not seeing the rest of the mask. So I'm not sure what happened there because it is a Steve Lytle cover.
Yeah,
right. But so that brings me to the idea of the bubble. In a world where they wear transuits, why?
Because he needs methane, not oxygen. And I think the transuits are...
Can a transuit modify to include that? Because the transuit basically creates an atmosphere within it.
I think the transuits are just for humanoids who breathe oxygen. And Tellus wears the transuits for all the other properties of it, but he needs the helmet to breathe. He gets the other protections from the ravages of space.
Yeah.
But
no, it's just interesting.
I've always interpreted it.
To me, that would seem a simple modification. But apparently not. All right, so we get into this, but just before we do that, some things that were coming out around the same time. Jeanette Kahn does a published aerial on the Dragonlance, Advanced Dungeons & Dragons,
Dragonlance.
And
yeah,
Gamma Rotters comics that they had. And this was kind of them breaking back into licensed comics again.
Yep.
You know, we had seen Atari Force before, which was awesome.
Uh-huh.
And I'd never read any of this stuff, so I can't comment one way or the other on it. But, you know, it was this was always a part of DC's publishing. And, you know, we've just mentioned Star Trek. And, of course, they had a long relationship with Star Trek. You know, they had Next Generation comics.
There was a who's who in Star Trek, even.
Yeah, yeah. And you had guys like Peter David writing them, Robert Lauren Fleming, you know, some really... some great folks writing those. Anyway, so that's what she goes on there. On the checklist for the week that this came out, we had The Prisoner, number one, by Dean Motter.
Mm-hmm.
And this looked at the life of number six 20 years later. We had The Shadow Annual, number two, which was a retrospective of The Shadow's career, and all to discover the meaning of his last words.
Oh.
Action Comics Weekly, Joe Orlando worked on that issue. It's a big deal. Joe Orlando has some serious DC history. Joe Orlando and Blackhawk start off the issue featuring Deadman, Wild Dog, who's going to be on TV.
Huh.
Wild Dog is one of, I can't remember which of the three shows, or which of the four shows now, but Wild Dog is going to be on one of them.
I think is going to be on Tomorrow, Legends of Tomorrow, I think.
Okay, there you go.
I think I could be wrong about that. But
see, that would seem an Arrow thing. Adrian Chase.
Yeah, it would.
Adrian Chase, Vigilante. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I look at them and go, really, Wild Dog? Really? Had you told me Vibe was going to be on a TV show 10 years ago?
Dude, deep tracks, son. Deep tracks.
I would have laughed my ass off.
Again, kids, when we were walking 7 miles to pick up this issue, which, let me tell you, 7 miles to pick up this issue,
Not a good easy out of that.
Yeah, not a good look. No. We would never have thought Wild Dog on.
TV. That just would not.
Would not compute.
That's like, and I'm so happy Vixen is getting some play.
Yeah.
On the TV shows as well. Absolutely. But again, seriously, Vixen, and I love Vixen.
Yeah.
But I'm like, what?
But you know what? Vixen, if you dig deep enough, well, you don't have to dig that deep. No. Suicide Squad.
Suicide Squad, exactly.
She's OG Squad. All right. Well, OG Ostrander Squad. Okay. All right. And she came in a little bit later in the series. All right. Never mind. Stop. I said good day. Also, Superman and the Secret Six. Batman 426, A Death in the Family Begins, and you decide who lives and dies, plus the Joker.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah. Captain Annual number 2, Captain Atom invades the Queen Bee's Bialya with Rocket Red, Sarge Steel, and Major Force on his side.
Cool.
Yeah. Secret Origins number 33, which began a three-part look at the origins of the JLI, of the JLIers.
Yeah.
This month, Mr. Miracle, Green Flame, because she was still Green Flame.
She was Green Flame then, because Invasion hadn't happened.
That's right. And Ice Maiden.
Mm-hmm.
Dragonlance number 1, beginning the DC TSR line as we present all new stories set in this fantasy realm. Haywire number 3. Hellblazer number 12.
Wow.
A book that would go on up until just about a year ago. Mm-hmm. The truth about the Newcastle incident concludes, and Constantine is left to ponder his future. Tail Gunner Joe number 4. Deadshot number 2. This was, of course, the Deadshot miniseries. Now, here's something I don't know if you'll recall, but Deadshot begins the search for his son as other mysteries unfold, and the hitman Panther finds Deadshot.
I thought he had a daughter, not a son. I have to confess, I didn't read it.
Green Arrow 11. Green Arrow and Shadow are on the run from the Yakuza, starting in Hawaii and ending who knows where.
Ugh.
And in Superman number 24, Cary Gamble joined on as penciler in time for the return of Rampage. Superman has his hands full this month. All right, we get into the issue, Legion of Superheroes, Hunters and Hunted, brought to us by Paul Levitt's writer, Keith Giffen, layouts, an important distinction, folks, an important distinction, because a lot of this stuff does not look like Giffen. Mike DiCarlo finishes, as opposed to just inks. That's, again, it's a big difference. John Costanza, letterer. Carl Gafford, colorist. Art Young, assistant editor, and the amazing Karen Berger is the editor.
Agreed.
Yes. On Brawl in 2988 AD, and they're trying to find this Windor.
Windor.
Winder. Winder.
Winder, Winder, Winder. Do, do, do. dupe.
Yes, he's the guy who wrote the Book of Love.
Exactly.
And yet all we can see is the destruction he's left behind. And they say, try harder, tell us. I want that Gildish Pan worm. I don't know, calling them worm, a little racist. Just saying.
A little bit. A little bit. Because they look a little wormy. So, yeah, it's a little bit racist, yeah.
Next, you're going to tell me all of the Gildish Pan look the same. But Talus, wearing full helmet, says, it is hard, Lightning Lass. My telepathic...
That's personal.
I did say full helmet.
You did.
He says, my telepathic powers are not suited for use over great distances. Look at this page.
Yeah.
There is nothing on this page that looks like Keith Giffen drew it.
Nothing.
That's true. And this is what I'm saying. It's like, it is only the...
In fact, Magnetic Kid's face looks a little Kurt Swan-ish to me.
I would say Kurt Swan or Howard Bender.
Yeah.
You know, and in a couple of pages, things will look a little bit more Giffen-y, but it's dodgy. It's This was clearly a
rush job or something.
At least on his part.
Yeah.
You know, Lightning Lass is getting all kind of tough with him. We can call in other Legionnaires, maybe Dawnstar, be able to find him.
Yeah.
Because don't you
think that's her job.
She said, don't you think we ought to be the ones to find him since he nearly killed us? What about you, Magnetic Kid? This is your planet. Do you want more help saving it? Wow. And he's saying, I think we can handle it if we can find him soon, but where is it? And there is a great Cthulhu. Take a drink.
Yay. I think Ayla's actually having some flashbacks to being held captive by Zamir, too. So that's why
she's... Oh, you know what? That's interesting. I hadn't thought
of that. A little more aggressive about this. Although, we've always seen the Ron's, you know, lightning powers as being much more of an aggressive personality. Because when she had light last power, she was like, oh, I'm useless. You know, now she's like, let's go get him. You know, so it's like, okay.
Very true. Very true. So they got to get out of range of the eruption, and there is a Krakum, which, again, take a drink.
Take another drink, please and thank you.
So basically they're trying to get away from the lava flows to find him. Talus says, I thought the Gildish Pan, a gentle race who swam content in their own ocean, yet this one attacks us with a power we can barely resist. Which is interesting, because they've often talked about the parallels between the Gildish Pan and the Hycraeans.
Mm-hmm.
But also just the idea that, remember, we've only seen a couple of Gildish Pan.
Yeah, and really only one Hycraean outside of that episode of the Universo Saga when, or Universo, when we went to Hycraea, so...
Yeah, so, I mean, the idea that, you know, to us, when we see a Gildish Pan, it's like, oh, that's trouble.
Yeah. Because we've only seen two, and they're both awful.
Exactly.
So far.
Exactly.
And I'm sure we may have seen a third or fourth one in the background somewhere, but I don't recall it.
Yeah.
So,
this is Ayla's face in this last panel here.
It looks like Garth.
Yeah, it's... horrible.
That looks like Garth.
It's a mess. It is a hot mess.
Yeah.
Like, clearly from the, you know, I would think to myself when I see the sproing there.
Actually, no, that's Magnetic Kid.
With the hair colored wrong.
Yeah, with the hair colored wrong, because the dialogue says, grab onto the metallic compounds in his life support bubble.
It's a mess.
That's not Ayla. That's
yeah.
That's
so don't color his hair like hers.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know.
Maybe that's supposed to be the fire and the lava, but if it's so, that's really
No, it is the exact same shade that they use for her hair.
Yeah, it's true.
And let me tell you, when we see her face on the next page, you're going to see why it could be confusing.
Yeah.
So we get there, and he says, and dig the worm out of its hole, and it's surviving you are, legged ones, to Windor, the elemental's amazement. Trying your destruction twice have I been, yet still you interfere? So all of a sudden he's, you know, a little more Yoda talk than what we're used to. Talus says, I am Talus, Gildish Pan, and a Legionnaire too. And Windor says, being Legionnaires, having heard of your kind, Windor has, hearing nothing that says you live, not while bothering with one of the higher species. And Ayla says, and this sort of follows along with your theory, she says, I've only met one Gildishpam before, Huinder, and he was as arrogant a monster as you are. The Legion taught him a lesson about higher species, and I guess you're next. But he says, talking is but air, legged one, and air Huinder controls. Flesh shoom.
Close enough. Drink.
And
although he's got his little protrusion there as the arm of the Gildishpam focusing his powers like that outside of the bubble.
So there's the little tornado that they're thrown into, and then we head back to Legion headquarters, and they have the last big piece of the new Metalab being delivered.
And this looks more Giffen-y to me.
It does. This totally does. Yeah, so who knows? Who knows how that
works? Who knows? Come see, come saw.
Just interesting that the story that's been kind of ongoing is the one that seems to be getting short shrift thus far.
True.
But admittedly, we're only 5 pages in. I'm sure there will be other messes.
There will be.
Yeah. So, Element Lad says, well, I'll admit it looks easier to use Polar Boy, but you're positive we'll be able to manage it without Brainy, Dream Girl, or Mon-El. Are only 3 qualified medical technos.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And Polar Boy, showing why he's the best Legion leader ever, says it's all in the instruction programming, Element Lad. Oh, good.
Just follow the instructions. What could possibly go wrong? Mm-hmm.
That's all. Remember, this is the guy that sat there next to Stone Boy stuck in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Ages. Maybe we could try this. No, that won't work.
That's not going to work.
And Colossal Boy comes up behind them and says, I hope so. I'd rather not go to Medicus One for treatment until I recover from what Starfinger did to me. And he says, so he's been told, you know, he's come along fine. He says, yeah, if I keep off my legs for a while longer, he says they should recover. But his electro nerve therapy is worse than the speeches Yira has been giving me about what an idiot I was to try stopping Starfinger solo.
She's not wrong.
She is not wrong.
She is not wrong, kids.
Yeah. He says, I can't wait to get back on active duty and out of our quarters. And Polar Boy says, I can't wait either. Not with you injured, the White Witch off somewhere pouting. Oh.
That's sensitive.
Yeah, no kidding. Shady planet hopping trying to get Mon-El cured. And as he's going on his little tirade.
Little rant.
Yeah, Timberwolf comes in saying, Polar Boy, brought the power of the unit from the multi-lab, just like you asked. But Block never showed up to help. Uh-oh.
Uh-huh.
Where do you want it? Attach it to Module 7C, Timberwolf. Can you find that? I can read, can't I?
Well, can you?
Maybe, you know. Uh-huh. And Element Lance is surprising. Block's usually so reliable, especially about chores around headquarters. The only time he goes off somewhere is with you, Timberwolf. And he says, yeah, well, not this time. And this is, again, so you see now
and
we're
more
into
foreshadowing.
Another, but
more
we're also into a really different look here. And it's so inconsistent from page to page.
Yeah.
And he says, yeah, well, not this time. And Timberwolf looks like he's never looked before.
Yes, because he's not hairy here. Look at his chest.
Well, that too, yeah. But also,
when
like,
did Bryn ever manscape?
look at the hairstyle. Look at the. Yeah. It's
ears
not even
are much more pointy than ever.
Yeah.
So.
And he says, "Yeah, well, not this time. It's getting so there's never a Legionnaire around when you need one," which does not impress.
Rumpf.
Yeah, her rumpf. We move to Daxum. Remaining elements of the image of the legendary dark side are visible only in select sections of the planetary surface. Those interested in world sculpting are no longer advised to include this in their travel itineraries, as more of the art is being eradicated constantly by Daxamites with no appreciation of its unique qualities. This from Monumental Art in the 30th century. And so the Doctor is saying to Shadow Lass, it is quite inadvisable to continue transporting Mon-El from planet to planet, Shadow Lass. His condition, I know how serious it is, Doctor, and that's why I brought him here. Don't think I'm not grateful to your team for what they did to stabilize him, but I'm determined to find a way for my husband to make a complete recovery. And he says, hey, I wish you well, but that's beyond our knowledge or power. And frankly, I question your judgment in risking what remains of his life force on an impossible quest. Ooh. Damn.
Yeah.
She says, it's a big universe, Doctor. Nothing has to be impossible.
And goodbye. You're dismissed.
Yeah. She sends him off with a goodbye, and he says, good luck, young lady. I hope you're right. And she says, I have to be. And she says to the little alien dude, the Meta-2's been loaded. We're prepared to leave Daxam now, officers. And he says, one moment, Shadow Lass.
And look, there's a Protean officer.
Yes. Nice. I hadn't even noticed that.
Yep.
Wow. Says, you undoubtedly would not assist anyone or break the quarantine of Daxam, but as Science Police resident, it is my responsibility to ensure you do not inadvertently participate in a violation either. So there's a beep. The Protean presses the button here. It says, one life form on board, Daxamite with unusual readings. Very well, you may go. And whoosh, away whoosh. They do go. Whoosh. How sad. Someone will die because the Joker wants revenge, but aww, you can prevent it. Batman 426 and 427, both on sale in September.
Huh. Yeah, he's going to die real good.
Yeah. Well, but he got better.
He got better.
Ah, take a drink.
Indeed. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Although there will be some...
He got turned into a clay face.
back to Brawl. There's still the whole windstorm thing going on, and Hoinder is monologuing, and
like you do,
yeah, accusing them of being lesser beings, which Ayla takes particular exception to. And there is a Krakoom. Take a drink.
Ugh, we're gonna get drunk, Paul.
Page 10, son. Good. Page 10. Magnetic Kid saying, get closer to me. And Telus says, it's no use, Magnetic Kid, the rocks. He says, Brawl is mostly magnetic ores, Telus. Do as I say. I'll protect us. And with his sproing, he seems to have them in a protective little bubble. And Ayla's still, like, not happy with this whole lesser thing. And so she goes full on lightning.
Cracker! Like,
yeah, take a drink.
Thank you, Ayla.
Like, this is like issue 303, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is issue
302. 302 would be with the Lightning Lad, Lightning Lord one.
Yeah.
303 was Emerald Empress.
That's right.
Oh. Who kids we will be seeing very soon.
I was just going to say, exactly. It says, we're Legionnaires, the most celebrated heroes in this entire galaxy. Crack a thoom. Take a drink.
Take another drink.
I'm called Lightning Lass, and I've taken care of your kind before. You can hide in that damn bubble all you want. I'll show you what the power of the storm really is. And there is a big crack-a-toom. Take a drink.
Yeah, this is the one where the art had an easy break because it's all pink lightning everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. She says, there, and it says, surprising you are, Legged One, or Legionnaire, if you prefer that term, you do. Product of a Gildeshpan laboratory, perhaps? And I need to stop for a second. Unknown Soldier, how sad.
Oh.
This was a 12-issue maxi series that they did in the new format. I've never read this.
Okay.
But I want to. It says invisible, invincible, invulnerable, expendable, the Unknown Soldier. And we see the familiar. Now, unlike the way we used to see the Unknown Soldier, where it was all bandage, this guy, you know, you see as much of his face as you do bandage. But it's who it was written by. It's James Owsley, who is now known, of course, as Christopher Priest. Uh-huh. I got to say, I'll read anything that guy writes. He has written some fantastic stuff. And so I'm going to kind of see if I can maybe catch this in one of the bins at Fan Expo this year, because it looks very cool. All right. Back to the Gildeshpan. He says, too wild, too uncontrolled. And she says, I'll control you back to hell, Winder. Oh, damn.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I'll control you back to hell. And he says, no. He goes all evil Willow.
bored now.
exactly. And he says, thinking not, Winder, the elemental is Thum. And she says, huh? So,
that's a neat trick, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So space beyond Daxam. How could you, Shady? And she says, it's the way of my people, my love. Our women have always looked for what they wanted, the strong, the wise, the handsome, and finding their desire, bind themselves to him. The men have little choice in the matter. And Manel's sitting up in his bed. Look at me,
and
Shane.
He looks like a hot mess.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Dude looks road hard, put away wet.
Basically.
He says, I'm barely alive, scarred, weak, and unable to even keep awake for more than a short stretch with medication. I'd have been better off if the time trapper had killed me instead of left me like this, especially if it would have prevented what you did. And she says, I said you had little choice, love. It was I who chose you long ago. I should have performed the ritual then, but I thought it would frighten you since you were not used to Tolokien's ways. This is where we first get the kind of the inkling of their whole warrior pride, right? Like it's
We saw it in Tales of the Legion, that two-parter.
Oh, that's true. That's
with
true.
With Shady versus Lady Memory. So, but never fleshed out to this extent, I think.
Exactly. It was a thing that we saw, but now we're seeing it really integrated into her character.
Yeah, we got the whole barbarian tribe thing, that there's these people who live in the mountains, and then there's the city dwellers, and we got the idea that there's definitely some different factions and some angst there.
Yeah.
But we never got the idea that the city dwellers had what we would consider equally barbaric ways in different ways, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So she says, now I've done it, so you would not argue with me. And he says, Shady, and she says, hush, save your strength. We have to go back to the data bank and continue searching for our next destination. All right, so there we go. Legionnaire's cruiser in range, sir, and this is a Kundian ship. Are you sure, Kerr? He says, 0.89787 correlation to the data on the cruiser that left Axum with Mon-El and Shadowless aboard, Warlord Joark. He says, then if the accused one is still wounded as severely as rumor has it, we may finally avenge our defeats at his hand. For the glory of the Kuns, fire, Kerr.
Now, remember when Mon-El was going to get the Dwarf Star, he did get a Kundian ship.
That's right.
So this is fairly fresh in their memory, and they do want vengeance. So.
Absolutely. And their ship kind of looks, again, you know, looking at...
A little Borgian, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Again, looking at sort of TNG parallels. He says, and if you miss, your blood will stain the courts of Challenge and my boot. And that sounds very Klingon of them.
Uh-huh.
So... they shoot at the little cruiser, and it says, full shields in place, Warlord. We shall have to hit them again. He says, don't waste words. Fire. And there's a thump, and she says, we're under attack. Mon-El, close your medicapsule. I'll take the controls. Get us out of here. I hope, she says. Kund battle cruiser. Not likely to be in the United Planet space by accident. We've either tripped over a hostile mission or they come looking for us.
Yep.
There's an explosion, and... Mon-El sits up and he says, Shady, and then plop, he's back to his pillow. He just can't sustain himself that long.
Uh-huh.
Back to Brawl. Only one vaguely reasonable place to stay graces Brawl's otherwise dull skyline. The Fort House. Nice. A little tribute to Legion artist John Fort.
Yep.
Is notable for its Magna Ball courts and the certainty that anyone who is anyone visiting Brawl will be staying there, unfortunately. Hotels of the Colony Worlds 2988 edition. Mummy, look, Legionnaires. He says, we can't even get a decent rest here, Lightning Lass. Oh, Ice Stock Guy, take a drink.
Take a drink. And by the way, that Interlac right there says Holid, so I'm assuming it's Holiday.
Holiday? Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be like... I stayed in a Holiday Inn.
A Holiday Inn Express. Yeah. I know how to defeat the Elemental.
Yeah. Exactly. did you defeat the Elemental? No, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express
last night.
Yeah.
True.
Ignore the onlookers, kid. You get used to them. Tella says, shouldn't we have called Polar Boy so help could be journeying toward us while we recover? And he says, not on my first mission home, Tellus. I want us to handle this. And Tellus dives back into the pool saying, humans. And he says, you don't have to get huffy about it. Again, this is the art on this is looking very different. It won't look Giffen-y for another few panels.
Yeah.
Don't mind Tellus, kid. I think you got guts. Yeah, see?
And here we take a weird turn into this very bizarre subplot that doesn't go anywhere.
I was right to be impressed with you. And he says, maybe it is silly, but I feel like something personal is at stake. Is it because I haven't been a Legionnaire long or because Brawl is my homeworld? And she says, or just because you have a sense of honor? And he says, that sounds nice, but just relax. We have plenty of time to find Winder. Plenty of time for lots.
Mm-hmm.
And he completely misses it. He says, I got an idea. I think I can find him right now. And she's like, there is a house ad for the Plastic Man series that was written by Phil Foglio and penciled by Hilary Barda.
Ah.
A 4-issue miniseries in standard format. Kind of short for such a long guy, huh? Says Woozy. Off to space again, we see the Legion. We see Shady's cruiser. Boom, wham. Shield still holding, Warlord. Increased rate of fire. Smash that cruiser. And they turn, and he says, the Legionnaires, they're turning? What? They've hit our power systems. Damage control report. Brief, no damage, no impacts, all illuminating devices operative at full power. It's impossible. There is not a quantum of light on the whole bridge.
Didn't they say earlier that the cruiser matched the one Mon-El and Shadow last took? Hello.
I think so, yeah.
You think maybe she's doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
There, autopilot will guide her the rest of the way while I concentrate on holding my shadow over the area. Hard to visualize so much distance. Keep the darkness clear in my mind, but I have to hold it until we touch. There, and they bump into the thing. She says, my love, it's up to you now. My power isn't enough to save us. And he says, Shady, I can't get up. And she says, you don't have to. Just look over there, toward the bridge where we rammed the Kunz. I'll activate my transuit. Use your heat vision and make them pay for attacking us. And he does. He zams them, but good. And she says, perfect. I've resealed our hull, but they'll be patching damages for days after I let them out of the dark. You did it. And he passes out again.
Yep. Good teamwork, considering.
Absolutely. House ad with subscriptions. First is the new Dr. Fate series that was J.M. DeMatteis and Sean McManus. Is part of this. Subscribe to Dr. Fate for only $15 and you will receive a full color poster free, plus issue number one signed by writer J.M. DeMatteis, and issues 1, 2, and 3 and the free poster will be mailed together in December 1988. Yes, send me the new monthly Dr. Fate series and my free poster. Enclosed is a $15 check or money order in U.S. funds for 12 issues. Please add $2 for each Canadian order and $10 for each other foreign order. Make checks payable to DC Comics Inc. Mail this coupon or copy to DC Comics Subscriptions, Box 1985, Department L32, New York, New York, 10185. Yes. But the second half of this page, it was two half-page ads, the Legion of Superheroes. They're not kids anymore. And we get sort of a presage of the Legion 54 cover with Wildfire, Ultra Boy, and Dawnstar. Showing off their new look. The Legionnaires show off their new look in Legion number 54, available in September. Above Brawl, my friend, could you explain, says Talus, could you explain exactly why we have stayed in orbit for so many turns? That pool of may not have been Great Mother Ocean, but it was a far more comfortable place to wait.
Yeah, Magnetic
Kid says, wait, Talus, I'm listening to weather. Weather? And Ayla, who is wearing what looks like a science police officer's uniform.
Yeah, that makes no sense, does it?
Says, great, we're so far out from civilization, they still have uncontrolled weather patterns. Next, we'll be drinking rainwater.
She was from a farm. I'm sure she's drunk rainwater before.
Exactly.
Her whole planet's a farm. Gwyneth is basically Alabama.
Yep.
Okay, moving on. Moving on.
Brief found that unusual disturbance you predicted, Magnetic Kid. Tornadoes over the western continent. But how did you? Trust me. Bye. Now, if I'm right, that Winder had to upset the ecosystem of any region which he was using his powers. Maybe those tornadoes will lead us to him. Lightning Lass? She says, ahead of you, kid. Coordinates inputted, and we're moving. And off they go.
Cool.
Below, guarding the great city-legged ones are, so Winder will clear this continent of humans. whatever legionnaires be, bothering with them shall not until Huindar has no other choice. Big place brawl is, and much to do. Doing it away from dangerous ones shall be. Wind and storm gather, air and elements unite and writhe at Windor's command.
Okay, so now the Gildersman thinks he's ISIS from 1975.
Yeah, yeah.
77's ISIS show.
Oh, Zephyr really? Winds that blow on high. Lift me up so I can fly. So I can
fly, exactly.
Oh, mighty ISIS.
Oh, mighty ISIS, who we'll never see again in a comic book, probably, with all the crap going on today.
Yeah, she's been ruined.
Basically. They need to bring back Nefertiti, her sister. Oh. And do it that way. Yeah, be done with it.
Nefertiti. All right. No longer, Gildishpan. The Hycranian?
Bam!
I thought they were Hycrans, but okay.
Hycranian.
Abasing yourself, child of the least of all species, to breathe these sweet-scented seas, not touching one of your masters. The Gildishpan may have brought my species the means to leave our world, Huindar, but you are not our masters. Besides, I am not touching you, simply using my telekinesis to lift you and place you aboard our cruiser out of harm's way. Is this not to your liking, master? And off we go. Debasing yourselves to dwell among humans, you are, Hycranian. Fuh. Pollute
you
your
see
own...
what he does? He pees on him.
Damn.
He pees on Tellus.
Holy.
He does the whole squid ink thing there.
Wow.
Damn. That's some nasty right there, kids.
He says, pollute your own pool, Gildishpan. You can do no more harm to mine. And the Gildishpan says, watching will you be as Huindar calls the winds, shaking your ship apart and setting the lords of elements free. Seeing... And they say, don't waste your efforts, Huindar. And he goes, wasting? Foolish the human be. Not if I understand your power, Gildishpan. You pull your special energies from the biosphere, and you'll be out of tricks once we leave Brawl's atmosphere for space. Space?
Space?
Glug.
Glug.
And away they go, and Lightning Lass goes full on lightning again and says, there we go. And notice how your winds stop, Worm. You're headed to a labyrinth in a suspense cell. But first, Crack-oom. Take a drink.
Yay.
That'll teach you to laugh at legionnaires. Damn.
And he goes unconscious in his little bubble. That's very cute.
Yeah, exactly. On Labyrinth, fourth shield status, full strength worldwide, power system status, drawing sufficient energy direct from solar source. Backup's not necessary at this time. Suspense cells functioning. Activity report, incoming prisoner, warden attending.
Mm-hmm.
Gently. We don't want to
damage him.
Do you understand me, prisoner? I am Saquin, warden of Labyrinth, where you will sleep away your years and until we rehabilitate you, or you can no longer harm people. Take him to the cold cells. I have no time to waste on those who believe they are beyond Labyrinth's power. Garak of the Glow, you will learn. And as he gets put in, he smiles.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Yeah. Above, whoosh, a starship vanishes into a void. A tiny green beam of light gleams, reflecting off an unexpected surface. And an eye watches.
Yeah.
And we see the Emerald Eye of Ekron floating there.
Which is the best part of this entire story.
It really is.
Because we know we're going to get one of our best villains coming soon, so. Yay!
So next, strength in numbers.
Yep.
Just looking through on the... this is the issue where there were a lot of people complaining about the Dwarf Star being brought in.
Yes.
From Melissa Ann Singer of Tor Books, she said, enough is enough. There's just no excuse these days to put bad science in science fiction, quote-unquote, even in comic books. This old line about sloppiness or poor research being okay because, quote, it's still for kids. It's just for kids. What do they know? Quote, mm-hmm. end quote. No longer holds water, if it ever did. And it isn't that difficult to find the sort of basic information needed to write exciting and logical science fiction. I readily concede that a reader has to be capable of a certain amount of suspension of disbelief in order to read and enjoy Legion of Superheroes or any science fiction in the first place. How else can we accept shapeshifters, time travel, people who can eat literally anything, or transmute one substance into another?
Oh, excuse me.
Alas, number 48 strained my credibility past the breaking point. There's an awful lot of small, annoying silliness and inaccuracies in this issue. As an intelligent reader, I might supply possible solutions to some of these problems in order to continue reading the story, but that leaves us with a major unanswered question, the question of the effects of the high density and strong gravitational pull of the white dwarf star. Thinking rationally, it's clear the story could not happen as described. The Earth would be destroyed. Admittedly, accuracy would have made this particular story more complicated, perhaps even preventing it from being told at all, but as it is, you've produced a tale of great sound and fury that signifies nothing. Levitz responded, saying, "We offer no excuse that bad science is acceptable for comics, much less for science fiction, which to our mind should be held to a higher standard, not because of the difference in age of its readers, which is dubious, but because the essential of the genre is logical, speculative qualities it possesses, as opposed to comics' visual strengths. Nor do the pervasive illogical elements inherent in Legion offer an excuse. Although there are violations of the law of conservation of matter and energy inherent in half the Legionnaire's powers, and worse, our rule of thumb has always been that bending logic and science was permissible when it made the story more entertaining and more easily told. And readers themselves could fill in the gaps consciously or unconsciously. In over 100 Legion tales and far more stretches of the scientific truth, this is the first time we've been so out of line that it hurt the reading value of the story to a significant group of readers. Uh-huh. For that, our apologies. And to the handful who volunteered as consultants, thanks. But the problem is not in lack of resources, only in poor judgment."
And we've all been there. We've all had lack of judgment.
It
is what it is.
And so just something that's kind of key here is, you know, yes, they realized that, yeah, that was a bit of an extreme plot element. And maybe they pushed it just a little too far. "Dear editor, I would like to comment on your remarks saying that you can think of a long list of comics that you think are better than The Legion. This is a rather appalling thing for the editor of such a magazine to say. I do hope you're not judging Legion solely by the number of copies sold per month. I know that's an important criterion, but the things that are pleasing the readers and carrying on the tradition of the Legion are also important." This was Patricia Sweeney from Pacifica, California. And Levitz responded, saying, "For the record, the remark was made by the Legion's writer, not editor. And sales were not at all part of the criteria of judgment. The Legion's a fairly good-selling comic, though rarely at the top of the hit parade. It stayed on it for longer than most titles, and that's satisfying enough on that count. As to pleasing the readers, we'll leave that judgment to you. But we are certainly proud of having carried on a fine tradition with the Legion. We'll stand by the fact that there are better comics published than the Legion, proud as we are of our efforts."
Uh-huh.
He's just not being a dick, that's all.
No, just not being a dick. Yeah. Not going to take the bait. Thank you.
Yeah. Readers Roundup. Deb Terrell of Champaign, Illinois, wrote in to compliment the new application of Sensor Girl's powers in creating a sensory void, and added her vote for Jackie as well. "The sensory void owes a debt to the adventures of Agent 86 when this writer was a wee youth, Deb, which we're happy to acknowledge." Agent 86, does he mean?
Agent 86.
Get smart?
I guess so.
That's what I would say, yeah. J.P. Weinberger of Great Neck, New York, suggests a love interest for Invisible Kid, possibly Jackie, if she can loosen up a bit. Oh, damn. We'll add that into the stack of possibilities for the overdue storyline focusing on him. Anyway, so lots of interesting stuff in there. And here's something. "Dear people, mixed emotions, eh? Well, I am having mixed emotions about this book. Greg LaRocque had just joined the Legion when I started reading the series, and he's been the artist I've been with during my stint with the LSH. In my opinion, he's the best. I thought he contributed so much to the Legion, gave us a different dimension to the characters, to their graphic scenery, the settings, and most of all, Dawnstar and Dreamgirl. When it sank in that Greg was leaving, I felt like crying, doubly so when I read your epitaph of him, and his
epitaph. He's not dead.
No, exactly. And his contributions to this fine comic. After 3 years and an annual, a couple of lines is all he deserves. I was very upset that he himself was not given a little piece of space to say goodbye, which seems to say that there's something not too kosher in Legion Land. Levitz replied, saying, sorry if you thought Greg got short shrift, George, but the mixed emotions applied to the departure of a good teammate and the unexpected return of another. The first LSH letter columns this writer did were the ones after Mike Grell departed, then regarded as irreplaceable. Since then, we've worked with Jim Sherman, Mike Nasser, Joe Staten, Pat Broderick, Keith Giffen, Steve Lytle, and Greg, not counting the many one-shot or fill-in artists.
Yep.
Each has brought their strengths to the series, and in retrospect, we can fairly state that that each had at least one or two good qualities none of their fellows shared, and that we had good experiences working with each. None of them, however, asked for or were offered space in this column to say farewell. So Greg's treatment was similar to those of his peers. Uh-huh. As for a brief departure, don't you think after 3 years, the guy deserves a rest? And let's keep in mind, you know, he left this book to do Flash.
True.
And he stayed with that book for a good 50-odd issues, uh-huh. You know, which is a pretty stellar run. So... And you know, you heard, you know, folks, you heard LaRocque talk about his time on The Flash. And I think at some point it's like, man, I have to draw a lot of people every month. It'll be nice to have a little break.
I can draw one guy running with a whole bunch of red and yellow behind him. I'm good.
And in fact, you know, he was drawing the life and times of Wally West, as he called it. So, you know, he didn't even have to draw him in his costume half the time. And so, you know, he had a very interesting new drawing challenge because he had to make it visually interesting when there was a lot of standing around talking.
Uh-huh.
And he succeeded. Yep. So anyway, just wanted to get into a bit of the column because, you know, we don't have many of these Legion outposts left. And there's been some good stuff happening with them. So hopefully we'll have some more fun with it. So that's all I got.
Well, cool.
Yeah. Oh, how sad for Dr. Fate on the back cover.
You and your Dr. Fate fetish.
Dude, that book is so awesome.
Did you just dude me, dude?
I totally duded you. You got duded. You've been duded. The duding has been done.
I guess I'm a dude now.
Look at you.
I know. Moving on up.
To the east side. Yeah. All right.
If only all the way to the east side.
Oh, sir. A deluxe apartment in the sky.
Don't you know?
Indeed. All right. So, anything else?
No, I'm good.
All right. Comments, as always, are welcome to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, gmail.com. You can join in the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. We are on the Twitter. We are LOSP Podcast. And in addition to all these things, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com, where you can leave a comment on this or any episode. And indeed, with that, we make our way back into the time bubble, and we're going to come back to some real Keith Giffen artwork. And we will see you all next week.
Ooh, that eye's looking at me.